of my high school yearbook and my moving day, I was reminiscing about my again, it's natural that when we are in some place and we meet someone, speak some certain words, engage in a conversation, or perform some action, memory may be triggered. This morning, we will look at John chapter 21, verse 19, verse, the passage which offers after Christ's resurrection. In spite of this long passage, I want you to picture four things. These are reminders from Jesus. And I pray that these four reminders will not only encourage your faith in Jesus Christ, but also remind us of our faith in Him. From today's passage, Jesus teaches us four things that we must take to heart. And I humbly ask you to look to Jesus Christ, who is the reminder of your faith. Look to Jesus Christ, who is the reminder of your faith. In the background here, after Christ's resurrection, He commanded His disciples to go to Galilee. From Matthew 28:7, the angel said to him, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from death, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee." To me, see from this passage that the disciples returned to Galilee, where Jesus had told them to go. Galilee was the place where Jesus began his public ministry. And Galilee was also the hometown of the son of the disciples. We read Matthew 4. Now, the disciples gathered again in Galilee after Christ's death on the cross. With this background, our first heading or first theme is Christ reminding us of our holy. Christ reminding us of our holy. Here you see what the disciples were doing there. At Galilee, Peter and his companion went out fishing. Fishing was their job, their business until they met Jesus. They went out during the night because it was the best time rather than the day. However, as we know the story, the disciples thought nothing on that night. It was very unfair. Jesus came to them and stood on the floor and asked, "Do you have any fish?" The answer was, "No." Then Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find something." About this, you will see that the disciples never kept the net on the right side. The scripture says they were fishing the whole night. They might have tried testing the net in all directions. They were professional fishermen. They knew well not. Yet, they just obeyed and followed the people. These four things remind of the story of the Peter. In Matthew 4, we read, and Luke 5. Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the net. Again, from verse 5. We toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the net. The picture of John 21 looks back to the time when Jesus met his disciples for the first time. Just the same, the disciples, including Peter and his brother Andrew, were fishing but caught nothing. And Jesus came and said to them, let down the net for a catch. Do you remember why Jesus came up to the disciples for the first time? It is because Jesus told them. Jesus made them his disciples. He said, from now on, you will catch men. I will make you the fish of men. At that time, without any hesitation, the disciples followed. They quit their own job and began a new job, God's business, which was to catch men. But after Christ's death, the disciples returned to their previous job and were experiencing a very similar situation. Just like when they met Jesus the very first time. Before the disciples followed Jesus, they were just fishermen doing their own business. But after Jesus called, they became fisher of men. Doing God's vision. Christ's call was the turning point of their lives of doing disciples. Here in John 21, after his resurrection, Jesus, who called the disciples children very kindly, gave them a friendly reminder of their call, who they were, what their job was, and what they should do. Jesus also reminded them even how they should work for God's people. And your word, I will let down, which is to obey God's word and to follow it. Your word. Do you remember when you were called by? Of course, we are not all called as a full-time minister like first century disciples or pastors. However, we are effectually called by Him and His Holy Spirit as His children, as His people, and as His disciples. Before we met Jesus, we relied on our strength. We focused on our earthly life, and we were such sinners. Paul said, we were dead in trespasses and sins. However, God graciously called. He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord. And are you carrying your call, the call from our Lord Jesus? Christ is also standing before us and reminding us who we are, what we do, and how we live. This is a reminder from Jesus. From the first thing, now we move to the second thing, where the disciples had breakfast with the disciples. Christ reminds us of his presence in our life. After Peter and his companions took the full net of a large fish, 153, they landed the meantime, you just prepare a fire of coals, cook fish and bread, and waited for me to eat. Because as a master of the beast, and they had a meal here. I want to draw your attention to the meaning of it, having a meal together. The disciples followed Jesus for 3 years. Let me ask you something. Which activity was most common of their tree and ministry with? What was the most difficult thing to test every day? No. He just took all the fresh and he went among us. He and his disciples ate something. They should ate something. And it was one. We sometimes don't realize how important having a meal together. That was once a church is very important, making us good unity. Team lunch or having lunch with your colleagues at work can boost team morale or cultivate workplace relations. Mealtime is also a daily family reunion time in our life. During mealtime, we can ask God's blessing upon our family, share our life, and smile at each other. But imagine that I invite you to dinner the food house in my home country, like the White House. This would be a great honor. For the disciples, it was very common in daily living to have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner with Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That Jesus provided and had every meal for his disciples and with his disciples. But they probably didn't know how amazing and how honorable it was. 2 days before coming to today's time, the disciples had a dinner with Jesus in the day when Jesus was killed. And now we call this day. We think that they didn't know this would be the last supper. Disciples regarding it as just one of the meals they have had for the last 3 years with Jesus. Yet Jesus was captured, crucified, died. After his death, disciples would have a meal without who had been the host of their sin. They missed Jesus who had been at their table together, taking bread, blessing it, and giving it to us. I would like you to look at one person in the Old Testament. His name is Bathsheba. You know that. You can find the story in 2 Samuel. And Bathsheba grew up. He was King Saul's man. But his grandfather died. And his father is one of the most important. The 5 years old boy was too many things bad. He needed to hide from enemies and live in fear. However, as we know the story, King David met evil and walked him to be king. Met evil said, age and grandchildren. together with the king, like one of the children. King David not only offered the best meal, but also protected the Mephibosheth and was with him. Having grown up at the palace, he might not know how great the invitation of kings but now, the 2 years of a difficult time, he see how much grief was shown in the same manner. You are such children, and yet we have become children. You are in Christ. You hear the king's invitation. You have a right to come to me. You will memorize yesterday. Are invited to come to the Lord's feet. We meditate on the meaning of the Lord's Supper, which is indeed a means of grace, a meaning of eating and drinking with the King of Kings. That Christ is reminding us of the faith. Furthermore, what our faith recalls is that Jesus is also the great prophet. He provides not only all things, like the disciples got fish from Lake Galilee, but he also provides himself as the bread of life. That sustains us. That I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He gave us himself. He gave his life for us to inherit eternal life. What we are to do is come before him. This is a reminder from Jesus. Now we zoom into the scene of the conversation between Jesus and Peter. We focus on two things about Peter. First, on his name. Second, on Peter's response to Jesus' question. And with Peter's name, our third heading is Christ reminding us of our identity. You will see Peter's name, your name. You know that the meaning of your name is very important. Especially in ancient times, names were so much more important than that. Bible always tries to elaborate the meaning of its person. The change of name means something important. Furthermore, the process of naming is also very important. God named Adam, and Adam named all animals. Adam had a right to name them, but also had dominion over it. That changing of the name is also important. Think about Abraham or Paul. God perfectly changed their name. Back to our passage. What is the meaning of the name Peter? He was previously called the son of the John. We know the name Peter in Greek, which has the same meaning as the name Kephas in our name. Remember? His name is Peter. 1:22. He brought him to Peter. Jesus looked at him and said, "And you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Peter." It was when Peter met Jesus for the first time. Peter's original name was Simon, but Simon became Peter. Jesus gave his name to Peter ever since he was called Peter the Baptist. Here, you see in verse 15-19, John, the author of this book, used Peter's name as Peter, right? Simon Peter. Yeah. Jesus, in his conversation with Peter, some might say there's no significance coming to Jesus calling Peter by his personal name. But when you think of the meaning of the name Peter and memories related to this name, you should think of other steps to study this use of this name. Please, if you can open your Bible with me in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. I tell you that you are here, and on this rock I will build my church, the gates of the kingdom. And now, Jesus gave his name here. His name, Petra, means full of water. And Roman Catholics argue that this verse, Matthew 16:18, demonstrates that Peter was the first pope. But we should see this verse in the context of the verse 16, when he confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This confession can be the rock of the church, not just a person. John Calvin says, "It is evident how the name Peter comes to be applied both to Simon individually and to other believers. It is because they are founded on the faith of Christ and joined together by a holy consent into a spiritual unity. God made love for us." Regarding the name Peter, the bottom line is his confession. The fact that Jesus did not use the name Peter, but rather called him Simon, reminds Peter and us about Peter's backsliding from his confession. As we know, Peter denied Jesus three times. He lost his confession. On that night Jesus was captured, Peter claimed, "I don't know who he is. I'm not a person who was with him, and I'm not one of his disciples." Where was his confession? What? Where should we find the true meaning of his name, Peter, which Jesus gave him? Perhaps you now might be struggling with life, living with the Christian faith. Perhaps you also might face many situations shaking your faith and asking you to deny your confession. Perhaps you might doubt your faith in Christ and the assurance of salvation, even here with Jesus, calling you and me, calling your name, not your own, but name as Christian, to confess Jesus as the Lord. And here is Jesus reminding your confession of the faith and your identity as his disciple. Again, it's the reminder. Yes, if you are still in fear and doubt to come to the Lord, let us consider the well-known question which Jesus asked. Our fourth and last heading is Christ reminding us of our law. This question is asking about the core identity of the world. Peter denied Christ 3 times on the night when Jesus was told to Christ as to Peter 3. Jesus Christ was present in front of Peter. This was not the first time when Peter met the resurrected Jesus, but this was the first conversation between Jesus and Peter in the Bible. It is close.